how can you see and hear Jesus say that he came to do his Father's will, and that, and then you sit there and you think that you can put some things in place that's not in the Bible. You can do some things and you can apply some things that's not in the Bible. You can do that, and it's going to please Jesus. Saints of God, you're wrong, and you will be paid. And like I say, you're not going to like the payment that you get, but you will be paid, because I want to tell you something. God said he's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, he said you're going to reap it. Whatsoever a man sow, you're going to have to reap. And the Son of God, if he has to obey the purpose of God, I'm just continuing to talk to you a little bit. If the Son of God, if he had to obey the purpose of God, and he had to do the things, carry out the plans and the will that God has set forth for us, what do you think about it? We have been you.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man. The teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Lamentations chapter 3, but I want to pick up at verse 24 and 25 and 26. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. While you're turning there, this is the prophet Jeremiah, who's known as the weeping prophet. He is weeping over the daughters of Israel, the children of God, the people of God, for their sins, for their disobedience, for their backwards ways, and for their not obeying and submitting to God. These three chapters, Jeremiah is pouring out his heart, but it's right here, from the 21st through the 26th verses, that there is a ray of hope, a ray of sunshine, a ray of light that comes in the midst of this deep, dark, dismal situation of Israel. So, Lamentations 3, verse 24, begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Again, I want to continue this message entitled, Great is God's Faithfulness. Great is God's Faithfulness. If there are any witnesses in the house, would you help me say this today? Great is God's faithfulness. Not going to give God another hand of praise. Because I do believe that anybody who knows the faithfulness of God can keep it to themselves. They are witnesses of the wondrous works of God, the power of God, the might of God, the salvation of God. And it's so important to recognize, as I stated, no matter what your dilemma is, no matter what your situation is, no matter what your circumstances may be, one thing you must keep in mind. When it seems like the world is falling down on you, and it seems like everything that you are and you have and you've become is crumbling, just remember that it's not over yet. And what God has done once, He can do it again. And we need to remind ourselves, as the song said, sometime we've got to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We've got to learn how to tell ourselves, it ain't over till it's over. We need to learn to tell ourselves, this too shall pass. We need to tell ourselves that the Lord promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us. We need to tell ourselves that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We need to tell ourselves, if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? We need to tell ourselves what thus saith the Lord. Encourage yourself. Jeremiah had to encourage himself. Now, he's the prophet. God's called him to be a prophet unto the nations. The calamity that he has experienced with Israel and Judah is mind-blowing. It is heartbreaking. And he has been weeping rivers of tears. Lamentation means to lament, which means to passionately express grief or sorrow. And Jeremiah does this with all his heart on behalf of the people of God. And even Jeremiah himself, experiencing some of the most difficult times, not just because of what he has to go through as a prophet, but what he has to go through as the speaker to the nations. You know, it's a bad thing when you've got a good word and bad folk won't hear you. A word that can save them, a word that can change them, a word that can bless them, a word that can lift them, a word that can bring them out, a word that will help them beyond anything else in life, and they will not hear you. Jeremiah had, in this third chapter, up to this 21st verse, had to remind himself. You remember what he said in verse 21? This I recall to my mind. Yes. Therefore have I hope. In other words, Jeremiah had to say, you know what? I had to remind myself, God is still on the throne. I don't care how broke this situation may look. I don't care how messed up this situation may be. God is still on the throne. And because he's still on the throne, I have hope. Then he reminds us in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. And then 23 says, they are what? They are not renewed. They are new every morning. Every morning. God keeps reminding us that his compassions and his mercies fail not. And that's the reason why you're not done away with. That's the reason why God has not closed the book on you. That's the reason why God has not said it's over. That's the reason why God has not written you off. Because every day God says, let's start over. I don't care how horrible yesterday was. I don't care how dark and deep and depressed yesterday may have been. God says in his word, David tells us in Psalm 30 and 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God loves mornings. Yeah, and people of God love mornings. Now, I've got some issues with folk who don't like mornings, who like to sleep till midday and all in the afternoon and the evening without. It's the morning time. You heard Deacon Darrell talk about being in the garden when the dew was still on the roses. He's trying to let us know that that's for people who know how to meet him early in the morning. You heard the saying, the early bird gets the worm. Well, it's the early bird of God's praises and people who have a sweeter fellowship with him when they get up and put him first to start their day. And so here he's reminded that great is thy faithfulness. Now we get on to the text that we're dealing with today, 24. He says, the Lord is my portion. What does he mean? He says, the Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is my share. The Lord is my part. The Lord is my lot. The Lord is that portion that has been meted out to me. And because it is the Lord, the highest place and person that can be trusted in the universe, I have hope. Here's what you need to know. Your hope can be only in that is filled with substance and is substantial. If you're putting your hope in something that is not substantial and does not have substance, your hope is in a bad place. Matter of fact, that's why the songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I got news for you. In this life, stuff will hit you that'll make you lean just before you fall down. But when you lean on him, he has a way of straightening you back up. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand.
all other ground is sinking sand. Here's what you need to know. When you know God is your portion, your inheritance, then you can have hope that whatever he has promised you will come to pass. Did anybody hear what I said? If the Lord said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. If the Lord said it, then that means the Lord can do it. If the Lord said it, heaven and earth is hinged upon his word. If the Lord said it, there's no greater power that can cancel out what he has said. Therefore, you have some reassurance in the hope that is in the Lord. That hope will carry you, because God is not a man that he should lie. He's going to do just what he said if you hope in him, if you believe in him, if you trust in him, if you wait on him. And my brothers and sisters, the NIV, New International Version, says where the word hope is here in the 24th verse, in the New International Version, the word hope there is wait. Wait. Now that's interesting, because here is what we do need to know, that hoping is a part of waiting. And if you are waiting, it's good to know what you're waiting for. And it's good to know that the hope you have in God is worth waiting for. In other words, you need to know God is not going to disappoint your expectations in him. Not if you're trusting him, not if you're believing him, not if your hope is in him, and not if you're at the point where you say, I'm not going nowhere till you bless me. Jacob didn't leave the place of his blessing. He wrestled with that angel because he figured like this. He's the only one who can bless me. And if I go anywhere else, I'm going to miss the blessor. So I'm going to stay right here and wrestle with him till I get what I want. His hope was in the Lord. He waited there because he knew faithful is our God. My brothers and sisters, the word of God is filled with example after example of hoping in God and waiting on God. Listen, what does verse 25 says? The Lord is good to them that what? Wait for who? For him. When you learn here, this I need you to hear me well. When you wait for him, the present or the presence or the blessings or the deliverance or the salvation or whatever it is that you want is with him. Too many of us want the stuff and don't want the Savior. You can't ever miss it if you're waiting on God. You can't ever go wrong for however long you wait trusting God, because the text says the Lord is good. Somebody say good. The Lord is good. Psalm 105, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The Lord is good to them that wait for him. What you say to God is, God, there ain't no other power. There's no other person. There's no other potentate that I can turn to who's greater than you. So if you're the greatest, why would I go anywhere else? When it's all said and done, I'm still gonna have to come back to you. So I might as well wait here. I might want it right now, but here's what I know. You know what's best for me. I know, God, that you have the answers. I know, God, that you have the way. I know you have the power. And if you don't do it right now, then it's because now is not the right time. So what you gonna do? Wait. Listen. Yeah, yeah. And what does the rest of that verse say? 25? All right, to the soul that seeketh him. Now listen to this. There are two groups of people I shared Wednesday. Two groups of people, the group that wait and the group that seek. God's word is filled with admonishment to seek the Lord while he may be found. See, many of us don't realize God wants you to make much over him. Is that something you've been seeking, been searching for? You want it, you got to have it. I mean, and you would go to no limits trying to find it. God wants you to be that way about him. One, to the soul that wait on him, wait for him. But then two, for the soul that seeketh him. Two groups of people, wait and seek. Brother Chris said he loves compound blessings. So sometimes you got to wait and seek at the same time. I said, that's right, brother. And listen, God is all right with you doing both of them. But here, believers must find themselves in one at least or the other position at every stage of life. I'm either waiting on God to do something or I'm seeking God to do something. But in either case, I'm either waiting or I'm seeking. Because if I'm waiting, that means I've already asked him. And he already knows what I want. He knows what I need, and he can do it when he pleases. But if I'm seeking him, I'm trying to find out, God, listen, if you are going to do this for me, I believe you can, I believe you will, and if it is your will, I am going to the one who can do it when no one else can. And then it gets to verse 26, and it says what? It is good. See, that word just keeps coming up there. Why? Because God is good. And everything about God is good for the believer. It is good that a man should both hope. Here's that word again. Hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now listen to this. Listen to this. And I'm closing. It is good that a man should both. If I'm on the other side of chapel, I say the boat up.
The both of them share. It's good to wait, to hope and to wait. Why? Because here, our hope again, as we said earlier, is in the Lord. There is no greater source for us to hope in. How many times have you put your hope and trust in a person and they told you, you can trust me? I got your back. I mean, you know, on and on and all that trash, you know, they talking and everything. And as soon as you needed them, and most times when you needed them the most, they were not there. Listen, God is the power, the person, and the potentate that you can hope in without the disappointment of being let down. And remember this, while you're hoping in him, Grandma and them used to put it this way without any theological training. He may not come when you want him, but he's always what? On time. Any witnesses know that? Here's what you know. God knows the best time. The best. Somebody say the best time. I might want it now, but now might not be the best time. But if I get it when God gives it to me, it's the best time, and I'm going to get the best results, and I'm going to enjoy it best, because he who knows all things gave it to me in my season. See, there are things we want, but they're not in our season. And you got to remember, if you trust him, as Psalm 1 talks about, you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you don't stand in the way of sinners, you don't sit in the seat of the scornful, but your delight is in the Lord and in his law doth you meditate day and night, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever you do, it shall
prosper.
Shall
prosper.
Shall
prosper.
Why? Because it's in your season. I might want it now, but if it's not my season, my fruit is not going to be fruitful. It's not going to grow to its fullest potential. It's not going to be sweet like it's supposed to be. It's not going to have the effect that was desired when God designed it any time before my season. Season. So listen again. He's telling us that we should both hope and wait. Now this wait here, let me kind of help put this in perspective. This wait has to do with fix. And fix in this context means order or in order. Order. If something is fixed, it's in order. Or it is orderly if it's fixed.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L.
Dell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.com.